A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the prophet, his timeless aim. A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the prophet, his timeless aim. The legacy of Raza.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salat wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Welcome once again to our program, The Legacy of Raza. Now, inshallah, in today's topic, which will be a very beautiful topic in which a lot of the viewers of Madini Channel will get to learn a lot of things about our Imam Ahlul Sunnah, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. Alhamdulillah, we have our special guest, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Hafiz Muhammad Kaleem Al-Madani. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Inshallah, we will listen from them their words of wisdom, inshallah. Before we begin the topic, let us hear some virtues of sending salawat upon the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has said, "Man salla alayya yawm al-jumu'ati, kanat shafa'atun lahu 'indi yawm al-qiyamah." That whoever sends salat upon me on the day of Friday, his intercession will be my responsibility on the day of judgment. Sallu 'ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. You see, dear viewers of Madini Channel, we have this topic, we have this program, The Legacy of Raza, in which we learn about Imam Ahl Sunnat and about his many characteristics. And as you probably have seen, our previous episodes include his beautiful characteristics, you know, his love towards the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you already have probably heard the amount of poetry and the amount of love that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat expressed through his poetry for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. You see, Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was born on the 10th of Shawwal al-Mukarram on a Saturday. At around the age of 4, he rahmatullahi alayhi completed the recitation of the Holy Quran and also conversed in pure Arabic at this age. He rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi delivered his first speech at around the age of 6. He rahmatullahi alayhi completed his formal studies at the age of 13 years, 10 months and 4 days, and graduated. And on the very same day, he rahmatullahi alayhi began to officially write fatawas and began to teach as well. At around the age of 19, he rahmatullahi alayhi fulfilled the sunnah of nikah and began his married life. He rahmatullahi alayhi first visited Mecca and Medina at around the age of 23 and then again at around the age of 51. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi had his final will noted down at the age of 68, and in the end, this great master of various sciences passed away on the 25th of Safar al-Muzaffar, 1340 AH, in accordance to 28th of October, 1921 CE, at the time of Jumu'ah Azan, at the age of 68. All of these things, subhanallah, we have learned that Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, at a very, very young age, he completed the recitation of the Holy Quran, only at the age of 4. You know, nowadays, at the age of 4, we begin to send our child to madrasa so that he can go and learn the qaida. But Imam Ahl Sunnat at the age of 4 completed his recitation of the Holy Quran. Then at the age of 6, he gave his first speech. You know, to stand on stage in front of an audience requires so much courage and it requires a lot of knowledge. Because if you are in front of people, you have to have that sort of knowledge that you are able to speak to them on that level. And you do not mix up your words or you do not miss your words in certain occasions. Subhanallah, this was, you know, the karama of Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And at the age of 13, he completed all his formal studies. Subhanallah, Yeah, in the UK, Dars-e-Nizami begins at the age of 16. Never mind completing the Dars-e-Nizami syllabus at 13 years of age. SubhanAllah. Just from his works, we can see the amount of blessings that Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi had attained through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has definitely blessed Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used Imam Ahl Sunnah in a very, very beautiful way. I mean, look at it. At the age of 13, he completed his Dars-e-Nizami syllabus and began to give fatawas as well. Just from the age of 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began to take the work of deen from Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. You see, the views of Madani Channel, there's no doubt in the fact that Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi alayhi was a great devotee of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his time. He spent his entire life in the devotion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he rahmatullahi alayhi would speak, he would spread prophetic love through his words. When he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi would pick up his pen, he would express prophetic love through his writing. Every single moment of his life was spent in drinking from the cup of prophetic love and giving others to drink. His poetry shows his level of devotion to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi alayhi possessed many qualities, but one specific thing was that much of his poetry is based on meanings found in the commentary of the Holy Quran and alludes towards a hadith, meaning the excellences of beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that are mentioned in the Holy Quran and ahadith are indicated towards in the poetry of Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. I mean, if you were to open the work of Imam Ahl Sunnah, his Hadaiq Bakhshish, you will be able to see that in each stanza of Imam Ahl Sunnah that he has wrote, it's in accordance to the Quran and the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Like for example, Imam Ahl Sunnah has wrote, Mumin hu, muminu pe rauf rahim ho, sa'il hu, sa'ilun ko khushi la nahar ki hai. And from here, there's an indication, only in this stanza, there's an indication towards the Quranic ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ, and do not scold the beggar. So we can see that Imam Ahl Sunnah, throughout his writing of poetries, they are in accordance to the Quran and the hadith which refer to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So let us move to our guest, our Ustaz Sahib. Ustaz Sahib, what would you like to shed some words of wisdom on this topic?
Subhanallah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ahmed Sahib, as you touched upon there, that Imam Ahl Sunnat Maulana Shah Ahmed Raza Khan Ali Rahma was a multi-dimensional personality. When it came to Quran and Hadith, he was a master in understanding the Quran and Hadith, tafsir, fiqh. We know he was the biggest jurist in his time. So all of the sciences, Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with perfection, that level of perfection. And today's topic is about the poetry of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat Maulana Shah Ahmed Raza Khan Ali Rahman. Again, poetry is one way we express our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So throughout the ages, in fact, right from the beginning, Sayyidina Hassan bin Thabit radiyallahu ta'ala would, it's famously known that he would compose couplets in praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So alhamdulillah, you have throughout the ages the likes of Imam Busiri rahimahullah in his famous Qasida Burra, many other qasaid that he wrote. So this is something that is a key part of our deen, expressing love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through poetry. And Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat radiyallahu ta'ala was also blessed uniquely in this regard as well, in that his poetry, subhanallah, was in line with the teachings of Quran and Hadith. Not only that, his poetry was a reflection of the Quran and Hadith. So you will observe his poetry and then you'll think, you'll ponder, well, the scholars will ponder, and they'll come to the conclusion that this poetry that has been composed, this couplet, the reference is this verse of the Quran. As you just touched upon one verse there, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. So Allah has wrote a line of poetry which referred to that verse. don't scold the beggar, and we are all beggars in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, when you study the poetry of Ala Hazrat, you're reminded of a hadith or an incident from the seerah. So the poetry of Ala Hazrat is very powerful, and it's like he paints pictures with his words, and he almost takes us back to the era of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. But one thing to note here, that this task of writing poems in praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not for everyone. Today everyone's become a shair, and they think it's easy, they'll pick up a pen. So Ala Hazrat's poetry, the famous work of his, which is known as Hadaiq-e-Bakhshish, Gardens of Forgiveness, you could say, loosely translated into English. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, his words are so powerful, his poetry is so powerful. I've seen this, you've probably seen this as well, that in countries like England, South Africa, USA, English-speaking countries, where the people, the local people, don't even understand Urdu. They don't even understand Urdu. But when they hear the poetry of Ala Hazrat being recited in Naat form, then they're swaying from side to side. Because the words are so powerful. The words were written with so much love and sincerity towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah Ta'ala granted such acceptance to the poetry of Ala Hazrat, that when he writes, whether the listener understands or not, he still feels the spirituality. He still feels the blessing of that poetry. And I've seen this, that the person, you ask the person what was recited, what does it mean? I don't know. But you are moving because there's such an efficacy in those words, such a power and effect in those words. Allah has placed that effect, that even if you don't know the language, you know deep down that this is written by a lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Ala Hazrat's collection, Hadaiq-e-Bakhshish, Amir Ahl Sunnat, Mawlana Ali Asqadri, Damat Barakatul Aliyah, says, whoever wants to increase his Ishq-e Rasul, his love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what should he do? He should listen to the poetry of Ala Hazrat, the Naat of Ala Hazrat, Hadaiq-e-Bakhshish, because he says this is a very quick way of increasing your love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So inshallah, in this episode, we're going to hear couplets from Hadaiq-e-Bakhshish. Inshallah, I'll mention one now. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma says, Mujrim bulaye aaye hain, ja'u ka hai gawa, phir rad ho, kab ye shaan kareemo ke dar ki hai. Now, this line of poetry, subhanAllah, is referring to a verse of the Quran. The verse is in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 64. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ. Now the word used in this ayah is جَاءُوكَ. And Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma has managed to incorporate that in the couplet itself as well, that مُجْرِمْ بُلَائِ آئے ہیں جَاءُوكَ هَا گَوَا. What it means is, the sinners have been invited to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And جَاءُوكَ, this word, this is the proof for this, ja'uka hai gawa, because the meaning of ja'uka is they should come to you. And the context of the ayah is when they've wronged themselves, when they've sinned, they should come to your court, O beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when they come to your court, phir rad ho kab ye shaan kareemo ke dar ki hai. Once they're there, they're not going to be turned away. They're not going to be denied. Why? Because you are kareem. And this is not a befitting of the kareem, those noble people that they turn people away. They don't do that. They never do that. So let me recite the translation of the verse, inshallah. A translation of this verse. And if when they do injustice to their own souls by committing sins, O beloved, they should then present themselves in your august court and then seek forgiveness from Allah, and the messenger intercedes for them. So they would definitely find Allah, the greatest acceptor of repentance, the most merciful. Now, in Tafsir Ibn Kasir, the waqiyah is mentioned, inshallah, Anil Utbi. Utbi narrates. Utbi is the one who is witnessing this account unfold right before his eyes. He says, Kuntu jalisan inda qabri nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was sitting near the blessed shrine of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faja'a a'rabiyun. A Bedouin came. Faqala, and he said, Assalamu alayka ya Rasulallah. He sent salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says, the Bedouin says, Sami'atullah yaqul, I have heard Allah say, and he recites the verse. And then the Bedouin, he states, وَقَدْ جِئْتُكَ مُسْتَغْفِرًا لِذَنْبِي, that Ya Rasulullah, I've come to you having sought forgiveness for my sins. مُسْتَشْفِعًا بِكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي, and I have come in the state that I'm seeking your intercession in the court of my Lord. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأَ يَقُولُ, then he began saying, and these couplets that he said were very famous. يَا خَيْرَ مَنْ دُفِنَتْ بِالْقَاعِ أَعْظُمُهُ فَطَابَ مِنْ طِيبِهِنَّ الْقَاعُ وَالْأَكَمُ نَفْسِ الْفِدَاءُ لِقَبْرٍ أَنْتَ سَاكِنُهُ فِيهِ الْعَفَافُ وَفِيهِ الْجُودُ وَالْكَرَمُ. Oh, the most exalted among the buried people, who improved the worth of the plains and the hillocks. May I sacrifice my life for this grave, which is made radiant by you, i.e. the Prophet, the one who is an embodiment of mercy and forgiveness. He recited these couplets, and he says thereafter, ثُمَّنْ صَرَفَ الْأَعْرَابِيُّ, he returned. Now Utbi, the narrator, says, فَغَلَبَتْنِي عَيْنِي, sleep overcame me. فَرَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي النَّوْمِ, and I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in my dream. And the Prophet عليه وسلم instructed me, فَقَالَ يَا عُتْبِي إِلْحَقِ الْأَعْرَابِيَّ فَبَشِّرْهُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ غَفَرَ لَهُ. Go and pursue that Arabi, go and find him and give him the glad tidings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven his sins.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
So this is what Tafsir ibn Kasir mentions, as well as other books. And it's the very same couplet that we recited, meaning it's in reference to this verse, that Mujrim bulaye aaye hain, ja'u ka hai gawah, phir rad ho ye kab shaan kareemon ke dar ki hai. So like this, throughout the poetry of Ala Hazrat, you will find references towards Quran and Hadith. So the greater the alim, the greater his understanding of Quran and Hadith, and of course the greater his level of poetry as well. His poetry will reflect his love for Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why Amelia Sunnah says, if you want to increase your love for the Prophet alayhi sallam, listen to Hadaiqi Bakhshish.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Beautifully explained and delved into this Ayah Mubarakah, the way Imam Ahl Sunnat wrote his kalam and how he was indicating towards this Ayah Mubarakah of Surah An-Nisa, verse number 64. Likewise, as we were mentioning at the start, that Imam Ahl Sunnat, all of his kalams are in accordance to the Quran and Sunnah, meaning they refer to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned in Quran and Hadith, Imam Ahl Sunnah has wrote a stanza or a kalam upon that as well. You know, a lot of people, they say that you equate the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you equate him towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, you make them equal, etc., etc., al-iyadu billah. And they, you know, they blame Imam Ahl Sunnah for this, that you overpraise him or you do this, you do that. You know, when we say that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has ilmul ghayb, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allamul ghuyub, etc., etc., they say that you are equating the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what happens is that Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he writes another stanza. He says, رب ہے معتی یہ ہے قاسم رزق اس کا ہے کھلاتے یہ ہیں. And this refers to the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, انما انا قاسم والله المعتی, that indeed I am the one who distributes and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives. So now from here we understand that Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi alayhi has made a distinction here already, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who distributes, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows. You know, even this ilmul ghaib, the matter of knowledge of unseen as well, there's a distinction here. What is the distinction? That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the way, this is the teachings of Imam Ahl Sunnat, that the knowledge of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ata'i, it's given. But the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is zati, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's own. Nobody has given the knowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's his own. But when it comes to the knowledge of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's given. So these are the differences. Once these distinctions have been placed, then there is no way of a person could say that there is an equate, that we are equating the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, these were the teachings that we were taught by Imam Ahlus Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. You see, once some poets, they came into the court of Imam Ahlus Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and these people, they were writing poetry in praise of a governor, right? And they requested Imam Ahlus Sunnah that, you know, because you are a very good poet, you're a very, you know, you write so many poetries, why don't you write a poetry for the governor in his praise? Imam Ahlus Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi denied, and he said that, no, I will not write poetry in praise of a governor. Instead, Imam Ahlus Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi penned a na'at in the praise of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. And this is a very famous kalam. A lot of people know this. The first stanza of this poetry is وَقَمَالِ حُسْنِ حُزُورِهِ كَگُمَانِ نَقْسِ جَهَانِ نَهِي يَهِ پُولِ خَارِ سَ دُورِهِ يَهِ شَمْعَ هَي كَدُحَانِ نَهِي. Meaning the perfection of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's beauty is such that never mind there actually being a defect within him. One cannot even imagine there being a defect in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the meaning of the second line is that flowers generally have thorns attached to them and lanterns give off smoke. However, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that flower of the prophetic garden which has no thorn. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam is such a lantern which does not give off any smoke. Subhanallah. And in the last couplet of this na'at that Imam Ahlus Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi wrote, the translation of that is that, O Raza, shall I praise and flatter the affluent governors and leaders of this world? And he's questioning it, that should I praise the governors and leaders of this world? This can never happen. Extolling the affluent is a calamity, and may my own calamity fall into this calamity, meaning I can never do this. In the second line, he rahmatullahi alayhi says that I am a beggar in the court of my generous Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and my deen is not a piece of bread, that I go wherever I see some wealth. Allahu Akbar. You see the mindset of Imam Ahlus Sunnah, the way he would think and the way he would, you know, present himself in the court of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam through his poetry. Subhanallah. People have come up to him to praise the governor. Nowadays, people will do anything to meet a governor, to meet the mayor, to meet the king. You know, they will do anything. But Imam Ahlus Sunnah, subhanallah, you know, he refused. And instead, he wrote poetry in praise of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in that poetry, he made it clear that I will never praise any individual of this dunya. I will never write poetry for any individual in this dunya. His poetry is solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he's told us that he's not there to sell his deen. Just because of small wealth, he's going to sell his deen and gain a bit of wealth. No, he understands that my beloved is the most generous. He will get a lot of reward from that court. He does not need reward from the people of the dunya. Subhanallah. This is the understanding of Imam Ahlus Sunnah and his mindset. And this is what we need to learn as well. That when we see somebody who is quite well off, we shouldn't start praising them. We shouldn't start treating them differently to others. Why? Just because he's got a bit of money. We should do things only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to praise, praise only the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. Allah is your creator. And through the blessings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will intercede for you on the Day of Judgment. So these are the individuals that we need to praise, not the people of the dunya. No matter what we do, we can never please the people of the dunya. You know, I always say that if you call individuals to a wedding, even if you give them gold, people will always have to talk. They will still say that, you know, he could have afforded 24 karat gold to give us, but he only gave us, you know, 14 or 12 karat gold. You know, people will still complain. The conclusion is that people will still complain. You can never make people happy in this dunya. This is another illness in our society. What will people say? We try our best to make people happy. But we don't go towards what will Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam say. You know, we need to leave what people will say and need to go towards what will Allah and His Rasul say. Once we change our mindset towards what will Allah and His Rasul say, that's when we can make Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam happy as well. You see, just from the poetry of Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, it is in accordance to the Quran and Hadith. And there's no doubt that every single na'at of Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi is at a level of perfection in light of the field of a prosody. And they also make one aware of new aspects of prophetic love. Just as every part of Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, his body was overflowing with prophetic love. Similarly, every single word of his poetry was absorbed in the devotion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well. You see, you have certain works, like for those who have studied the Dars al-Nizami syllabus, you see that when you're studying certain books, they have commentaries in them. Why? To make it easier, so that the text, the matan, becomes easy to understand. And when something is difficult to understand because of its high level, then there has to be commentaries on that science so that people who read that work, they are able to understand it. And you see, Imam Ahl Sunnah, his poetry, they are commentaries on his poetry. Why? Because they are at such a level that a normal person is unable to understand what Imam Ahl Sunnah is trying to say here. So a general person is unable to understand the amount of love that Imam Ahl Sunnah is expressing in his words. So therefore, we have certain scholars who have written commentaries on those works, so that it becomes easy for people to understand. Subhanallah. So we'll move to our Ustaz Sahib once again.
You mentioned beautiful couplet regarding how Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma had so much self-respect, and at the same time, his love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at such a level that he believed, if I'm going to receive anything, then it's through the court of my beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala has granted the Prophet alayhi salam, and I will receive it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't need to look here, there, and anywhere else. So this is a big lesson for us today as well. And wallahi, if we receive a portion, a drop from that love that Allah had for the Prophet alayhi salam, and his yaqeen that anything I attain will be from the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then inshallah, our problems will all be resolved as well. And you touched upon how today people, they flatter others, they praise others, they compromise their own, you could say, deen even, just to gain something from the dunya. This is dangerous. It's very dangerous. And something we should refrain from. When we look at the life of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they also had this aqeedah that if we're going to attain, then it's through the court of the Prophet alayhi salam. Allah has granted him. And you beautifully mentioned how Allah Ta'ala's kingship and his ownership is zati, inherent. And as for the Prophet alayhi salam, is bestowed upon him, granted to him. So the Sahaba knew this. And I would like to quote a couplet which is similar to the one you read. You read, Rab hai mu'ti ye hai qasim, rizq uska hai khilate ye hai. There's a similar couplet, gives a similar meaning. It's a bit more emphatic. Allah says, La wa rabbil arsh, jisko jo mila, unse mila. Batti hai konain mein, ni'mat Rasulullah ki. So Allah is saying that by the Lord of the arsh, he's taking a qasam on this as well. He has no doubt in this aqeedah whatsoever. He says, by the Lord of the arsh, whoever attained anything, attained it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jisko jo mila, unse mila. And then he mentions the aqeedah of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. He says, "Batti hai konain mein ni'mat Rasulullah ki," that the blessings of both worlds, not just the earth, not just the dunya, but the blessings of the akhirah as well. "Batti hai konain mein ni'mat Rasulullah ki," that the blessings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are distributed here in the dunya, and they're also distributed in the akhirah as well. And the Sahaba knew this. I'd like to mention a hadith regarding a companion whose name was Rabi'a bin Ka'b Aslami. Now, this narration is in Sahih Muslim. As we know, Sahih Muslim is the second most authentic hadith book that has ever existed. The first is Sahih al-Bukhari, followed by Sahih Muslim. Now, in Sahih Muslim, there's a hadith. Sayyiduna Rabi'a bin Ka'b Aslami, radiyallahu anhu, he says, Kuntu abitu ma'a Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأَتَيْتُهُ بِوَضُوئِهِ وَحَاجَتِهِ He says, I would spend the night with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I would spend nights with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I would serve him and I would come to him with his wuzu water and other needs of his I would tend to. فَأَتَيْتُهُ بِوَضُوئِهِ وَحَاجَتِهِ Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so pleased with this companion of his that he was serving the Prophet ﷺ wholeheartedly, sincerely, lovingly. The Prophet ﷺ decided to bless this companion. And he said to the companion, Sal, Rabi'a bin Ka'b Aslami says, فَقَالَ لِي Sal. The Prophet ﷺ said to me, ask whatever you want. Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlawi, rahmatullahi alayhi, and other great scholars of the deen have said, when the Prophet ﷺ said Sal, He said, mutlaqan ask, meaning without any condition. The Prophet ﷺ said, ask whatever you want. Dunya, akhirah, money, wealth, status, izzah, whatever you want. By the mercy of Allah, I will give it you. This is the meaning of this question, sal. And how khush naseeb and how fortunate is his companion. Imagine the Prophet ﷺ asking an ummati that. And today, most people, if they were asked that question, they would say, I want a G-Wagon. I want a Brabus. I want a house in so-and-so area. Because we're dunyavi people, let's be honest. But the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they were so intelligent. And this Sahabi, he didn't ask about the dunya. Look what he says. He says, فَقُلْتُ أَسْأَلُكَ مُرَافَقَتَكَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
He said, I ask you, he's asking the Prophet alayhi salam, مُرَافَقَتَكَ for your companionship
subhanallah.
In Jannah.
Subhanallah.
Now, people who claim the Prophet ﷺ can't give you anything, don't ask from the Prophet ﷺ, he's not the greatest wasila to Allah, ma'adallah, and things like this. What will they say here? That the companion is not only asking the Prophet ﷺ, he's asking for the greatest thing, Jannah. And he's asking for the companionship of the Prophet ﷺ. Note how he didn't just say, I want Jannah. He said, I want to be with you in Jannah, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ. I want to be close to you. Now in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how did he reply? Did he say, O Sahabi, why are you asking about Jannah? O Sahabi, this is prohibited, don't you know? O Sahabi, this is an innovation to ask me for paradise. O my Sahabi, don't ever ask like this again. No, listen to the words of the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Qala, awa ghayra dhalik? Do you need other than that as well? Or is that it? And the Sahabi says, Qultu huwa dhaka. That's it. That's the only thing I'm asking for, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm asking for your companionship in Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَأَعِنِّي عَلَى نَفْسِكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ Yani, that's been given to you. But now help your own cause by performing an abundance of prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Show shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that you've been granted this, my companionship in Jannah, now for as long as you remain alive. Show shukr to Allah by performing kathratu surud, an abundance of prostration. So the Sahaba believed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the key to the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, why would the Sahabi answer the question in this manner, that I want your companionship in paradise? We know other narrations, the companions are hurt in battle. Sayyiduna Qatada radiyallahu ta'ala an, his eye has come out of his socket. But he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning, from all the people there, the doctors, the physicians, who did he feel could cure him the best? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What fatwa will people put on this Sahabi radiallahu anhu? And the Sahabi, when he came to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam not only fixed his eye, but that eye, that injured eye, became stronger than the other eye.
Subhanallah.
We have another Sahabi, his shin broken, comes to the court of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam places his blessed saliva on the shin and he becomes instantly cured, instantly healed. And like this throughout the ages, the ulama, the muhaddithin, the fuqaha, the sufiya, the mashayikh, they've all done istighatha in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this share of Allah's La wa Rabbil Arsh, jisko jo mila, unse mila, batti hai konain mein ni'mat Rasulullah ki. What does that mean? Today when we're in difficulty, we face problems, we're going through tough times, what do we need to do? We need to call out to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With this aqeedah and this belief that Allah Ta'ala is the one who grants, Allah Ta'ala is the one who blesses the Prophet alayhi salam with this izn, with this ijazah. And the Prophet alayhi salam distributes the blessings of Allah Ta'ala to creation. Therefore, dear viewers, we all need to strengthen our connection with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And once we develop this aqeedah that all the blessings of Allah come through the greatest wasila of Allah, which is our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then you will see how your life turns around and how you are blessed in many different ways. And then you will never ever think of going to anyone else's court, because you know nobody's as powerful as the Prophet alayhi salam in creation. Nobody is as generous as the Prophet alayhi salam in creation. Nobody is close to Allah like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam is. Nobody is as beloved to Allah than our Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam. So when you call out to the Prophet alayhi salam and you do so in this manner, then you will see how the blessings of Allah shower into your household, into your life. Allah Ta'ala grant us true yaqeen that the blessings of Allah are given through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. You know how, Ustazab, you were beautifully mentioning how we should ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from these things. Whenever we're going through difficulty, we should ask him, and through his closeness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove that difficulty. And I would like to move to our Ustazab for his final words of wisdom, and then inshallah we will conclude today's topic.
Subhanallah, final advice for one and all is that in this day and age where people are addicted to music, people are addicted to listening to all sorts on the drive home or when they're in their car or in their homes, if only we could develop a habit of listening to praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that too from the likes of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, his poetry collection Hadaik-e-Bakhshish, you will see firsthand that nothing in the world compares to that love for the Prophet ﷺ and the feeling you get when you hear the praise of the Prophet ﷺ, and you know, spontaneously tears will come out of your eyes and you will feel as though you are doing what you were created to do. You're fulfilling the maqsad of life, the purpose of life. Otherwise, it's being wasted. Every moment you spend listening to the praise of the Prophet ﷺ, praising the Prophet ﷺ yourself, this is that time where, inshallah, on the Day of Judgment, it will weigh heavy on your scale of good deeds. Otherwise, the rest of the time is futile. So live to praise the Prophet ﷺ, praise the beloved of Allah. And if you do it through the poetry of Ala Hazrat, then inshallah, you gain immense blessings.
Subhanallah, beautiful words of our Ustazab. Subhanallah, our Ustazab, he delved into the matter of istighasa and tawassul as well, explained it very beautifully as well, and then explained the poetry of Imam Ahl Sunnat as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve our Ustazab as well. So dear viewers of Madin Channel, today's topic was in regards to the poetry of Imam Ahl Sunnat and the amount of love that he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, expressed for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just through his poetry. And this is something for each and every single one of us. You see, a lot of people can show love through various ways. You see, there's two things. There's called something called ishq and mahabba. Okay? Mahabbat is something when you are inclined towards something. Okay? When that inclination becomes firm, it's called ishq. And Imam Ahl Sunnat was a beautiful example of these two things as well. He had ishq and he had mahabba for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And like Amir Ahl Sunnat has always said, that if anybody wants to attain closeness and have that love and connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listen to the poetry of Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and no doubt a person will definitely attain that qurb towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So dear viewers of Madini Channel, as parents, we also need to adapt this characteristic of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we also need to teach our children as well. And what better way is there to teach our children the kalam of Imam Ahl Sunnat? I know they're not that difficult as well. They're easy to recite. The only difficult part is the translation and understanding it. or reciting it, it becomes easy. So try to teach your children the teachings of Imam Ahl Sunnah so that they can attain the love and closeness towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow each and every single one of us to have true love and ishq for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam.
A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the Prophet is timeless aim. A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the Prophet is timeless aim. The legacy of Rizal.